Hello and welcome to Salesforce Architecture Talk with Gaurav and Satya. This is the place for all architects, consultants, and developers in the Salesforce ecosystem.
Well, hello all. Welcome back. I know it's been a while. It was summer here. Life took over and we couldn't record an episode for you all for a very long time. So apologies for that. But we are back with a very exciting episode. Application architecture. Very, very interesting episode. And I'm really looking forward to talk about some key concepts on Salesforce architecture. All right. If you are joining us only now, my name is Satya. I'm a Salesforce CTA. I worked as an architect leader at Google. And with me, we have
Gaurav Sood, Salesforce CTO. Architect leader in the Salesforce community. And yes, we took some time. We were getting all the messages from the community that, okay, when the next episode is coming, as Satya mentioned, it took us a little bit extra long this time. But here we are. I think the first very domain which we are actually going to cover today, which is application architecture. So I think let's get through the agenda. We'll quickly deep dive into in the application architecture domain, what areas this particular domain or the different parts of the exam this will actually go into. We'll give you a quick glimpse of how Salesforce architecture looks like, what are the key capabilities. We'll talk through different products, sales, service, experience cloud, marketing cloud, analytics, how different products plays what particular role in the overall ecosystem. Application architecture really talks about all different kind of licenses, in what scenario, what sort of license is applicable. And then the data model, I think data model is a really critical piece. We'll deep dive into what all key aspects which you should be looking at while doing the data modeling of your scenario. And then we'll touch base on the capabilities of the Salesforce platform as such, and we'll close off with some final thoughts. So this is very simplistic view. And then let's get straight away into the journey.
It's exciting stuff. I think this is bread and butter for every Salesforce architect to know core concepts of this domain in and out.
Exactly right. Exactly. And as you can see, in the last session, when we actually talked through the journey itself for the CTA preparation, there are 8 different domains which actually we get through. And this is the very first domain, application architecture, which has very heavy focus on administrative capabilities of the platform, sales cloud, service cloud. And this is really the foundation of the whole pyramid. So you've got to really understand it thoroughly. And it's not just focus on the app builder certification. App builder is must have. I'm not saying it's not required. It's must have to know the capabilities. But this particular domain will actually go deep into other parts of the platform also. And of course, there are other 7 domains to follow through once we have get through this particular domain. Soon after, we will actually keep launching all different episodes of each domain, and we'll give you a glimpse of, okay, what areas you go to really talk into for the journey itself. All right, let's straight away get into the application architecture. Satya.
Yeah, well, as Gaurav, thank you for summarizing this. I think it's obviously the first domain. You need to know the Salesforce platform, some really key features, data model. As Gaurav mentioned, is going to be core. Understanding of various different types of relationships. There are multiple features on the platform. Some can be done using config, some can be done using code. So knowing when to use what. Licensing is one of the most important aspects. As we all know, Salesforce is a SaaS system, it's for a user. So, and every user needs to have a license, right? So what license is suitable for which persona of users is really key. And then understanding the various different apps, all the different clouds that we see, sales, service, marketing. There is a whole ecosystem of apps in AppExchange, using a combination of this to solve business problem. At the end of the day, Salesforce is a business platform, and there are multiple ways to solve it, right? But But at the end, as an architect, really important for you to identify how to solve it, how to solve your requirements given a particular solution, right?
Exactly. Now, I think at the last, every point in this slide is very important, but I think key call out is that knowing Salesforce clouds is important. Without that, you cannot get through the whole certification or the exam itself. But the ecosystem is so vast, and ecosystem is really filling a lot of different gaps or the problems which Salesforce might not have filled and customer might be looking at. Hence, knowing those managed packages for, let's say, SMS or for DocGen or any particular use case which might be there, right? So you got to identify key managed packages where you have worked with. As in, it's not just knowing the name of that particular managed package is going to be enough. You need to really know exactly how that managed package is going to work, how what sort of data model this is going to bring in, how the automations are going to work, how the integrations are going to work. So managed package is just not saying that, okay, I'm going to get into SMS magic or DocuSign or Conga sign. So I think you got to really figure out how that particular solution works and meeting, which is really meeting the requirements without making the solution overall complex. And the very important key call out is that this particular domain is called application architecture, but it's not supposed to be confused with application architect credential. The application architect credential is literally, if I go back to the previous slide, is the left side of the pyramid. When you meet all these four certifications, then you basically get the application architect credential. So it's very important. This is aligned to App Builder plus some goodies, but not definitely not the application architect credential. Okay. Let's deep dive into the platform architecture now.
Yes, let's do it. Exciting stuff. For the listeners, I don't think this slide should be completely new for you. We all know Salesforce is core, so Salesforce is a core platform. I'm just going to give a brief refresher of what the core capabilities of the platform are, right? We all know that Salesforce is a trusted multi-tenant platform. It's one of the core tenets of this platform. What multi-tenancy means is that within the shared infrastructure, there are more than one Salesforce orgs that are hosted. Those orgs may or may not belong to multiple customers. And on top of it, we have what we call the secure, scalable, metadata-driven architecture. I know it's a mouthful, but all of these terms are very important. Secure, because trust, as you know, is the core is one of the core values of Salesforce as a company and also as a platform. It is scalable. The metadata-driven architecture of the platform allows it to have these releases three times a year. We all know the code that we write, the flows that we build, the fields that we create, all of that gets stored as metadata onto the platform, and every time a new feature needs to be released, all of that metadata gets compiled again so that you get access to all these new features. On top of that, what we have is a shared physical database. This database is shared on a single pod on the Salesforce, which is part of the bigger Salesforce data center, right? So a pod may host more than one customer or multiple orgs from one single customer. But the database, the physical database where the actual data gets stored, is shared, right? And what we see when we access Salesforce org and the objects, the custom objects, the standard objects, is actually an abstraction of that database. It's a logical database that sits on top of the shared infrastructure that is shared by most customers on that pod. Now, even though the data is logical, I mean, when I say logical, it means that when you create an object in Salesforce, it doesn't translate into an actual table in the underlying physical database, right? So there is a logical separation of data when you try and access any query, when you make a SQL query, when you make a report, or when you make a list view, that is sent to the logical data structure, and then which is then translated into the physical database query, right? But the more important part is the security layer, right? There is a security layer baked right into the platform, which starts with identity. So Salesforce, not many people know that Salesforce can act as an identity platform itself, where all the identity management features like SAML, OpenID Connect, all of this are baked into the platform. On top of it, the platform security in terms of providing all the different privacy controls. There are a lot of features like Shield that allow you to have encryption, platform encryption on the platform. And then at an application layer, there are many different features that allow you to segregate your data within your org itself. And there is a whole separate domain to talk about security, so we won't be talking that in detail here. But security is probably on the platform is the most misunderstood thing, and we'll deep dive into that particular domain later on. On top of this are actually a bunch of features, application or platform features that sit on top of it, which makes this platform what it is, right? So we have reports and dashboards, we have flows, we have Apex, we have assignment rules, we have entitlements, milestones. There are a bunch of platform features. Some are configurable, some can be used using code that makes building apps on this platform very easy and seamless. And then on top of this, there is the actual apps that Salesforce have released, the sales service. These are all apps that are built on this platform, Community Cloud or Experience Cloud, now Data Cloud. All of these are apps that sit on top of the platform. In addition to that, all the other products like Slack and Tableau and Marketing, you can integrate using the APIs, the open APIs that allow you to integrate with Salesforce platform in general. You can also extend and create your own apps, which will be tested for you in your CTA exam. You will be asked to satisfy a bunch of requirements or create new features onto the platform. So using a combination of this, you will have to solve your CTA requirements. And you should know when to use what features, which is going to be really tested for you in the CTA board.
Exactly. Now, I think this is very core of the overall architecture, where you got to understand how the multi-tenancy works, how what sort of key capabilities from the platform we have. If we have represented AI as an app, which is a very small icon, but it is now slowly very becoming itself, as you would have noticed in the Dreamforce last week. AI is now across all apps, all services, and coming into overall into all ecosystem. And with the industries, we haven't shown Salesforce industries as such on this particular platform, because industry itself is in all specific industries, such as in FinServ or public sector or in comms media, energy utility, there are different apps which are built. We are not saying they will be or will not be tested in the CTA credential, but knowing, understanding those particular apps, the overall data model, the problems which they are trying to solve is definitely going to help. But this is the bare minimum, what you see on the screen, which is sales and service, marketing, experience, data cloud. They are the minimum which you got to be fully aware how it actually connects with other products from Salesforce and sometimes with other third-party applications, maybe in AWS, maybe on Heroku, maybe on Azure, maybe on-premise. Everything, how it actually connects, you've got to join the dots and understand the capabilities.
I think it's good that you touched upon industries, right? So industries was previously was an acquisition, and the company was called Velocity.
Correct.
Velocity, when they built industry apps on the Salesforce platform, they actually extended the platform features that we spoke about to create industry-specific applications on top of the Salesforce platform. So that is the beauty of the platform, is you can extend it to any use case that you want. You can take one industry and implement a vertical solution like Communications Cloud or Financial Cloud. That is all possible because of the platform capabilities
exactly
and being extendable platform capabilities.
And I think what I think, Satya, maybe we should invite someone from industry's expertise.
Yeah.
Someone, maybe a CTA, a very famous CTA from Dubai. We should invite, and he can talk through industry's overall landscape, the capabilities, the solution, how that fits in coming episodes. But yeah, we'll try our best.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Okay.
Let's go into the licensing. Now, as we touched upon this particular part, licensing is very important in terms of understanding how which internal / external persona will have what sort of licenses, because licenses plays a critical role in terms of if you look at the real life customer implementation, the licenses itself makes everything, right? You got to understand licenses. You don't want to recommend partner community, for example, in case of customer community scenario, and customer cost actually blows up over the door, right? So you got to understand the licenses, internal, external, what are the similarities, what are the differences, in what typical use cases, what license will actually work. So,
And Salesforce being a SaaS platform, in order to access Salesforce, you need a license.
Correct.
Whether it's an internal license or external license, depend on your use case. But you cannot access Salesforce without a license. Even if you get a DevOrg, you get what we call the Salesforce license with it, free Salesforce licenses with it. So a user cannot access Salesforce org without having a license. There's only one exception to it, which is the public-facing communities. Where you can access if an experience cloud implementation is public, you can access it without having a user or a license. But for every other use case, you need a user, and that is tied to a license.
Exactly. And that user actually is going to have a license. Now, what sort of license that persona will have? So Salesforce basically starts with very basic R&D license, which actually gives only login capability and access to some custom objects, 10x custom objects. But you cannot basically access account contacts or other standard objects through that identity license. This is just to log in. You might want to solve the scenarios where, okay, Salesforce is coming in as identity provider, and you just want to let user come in and authenticate and then redirect back to other application. Maybe identity is your license to go for, and you don't want to consume your other expensive licenses. The second level license, if you look at this diagram, it's actually from the center, it's going outwards, where base license is identity, then you go to platform license. Now, platform licenses, again, gives very basic access to account, contacts, capabilities of the platform, flows, approvals, console access, chatter, files. But it doesn't give full-blown access to cases. It will give access, restricted access to cases. We call it employee cases, which is nothing but you are getting access to cases, but it's very restricted internal access, which you get. Same goes for work order. Similar goes for the knowledge, like you get read-only access to the knowledge. You might want to, in your whole organization, you can have majority of the business users are using, let's say, Service Cloud license, but some part of the business is just consuming the license from knowledge perspective. They consuming knowledge articles. In that scenario, platform license might be okay. That okay for this particular customer, for this particular contact, these are the knowledge articles, and they just want to get information on how their internal knowledge space works. So that's where platform license will come in.
Platform is when you want to build internal apps on Salesforce platform.
Correct.
Like I've seen some use cases where you want to build a leave management app, timesheet app, for example. You don't need the core CRM capabilities there. It's just you can build any workflow automation that you like using custom objects and the platform features. So platform license is more suitable for that kind of scenarios.
Correct. And now, as you can imagine, sales being the core part of the application, if you see in this scenario, in the real life customer instance where a user needs opportunity access, they need to do opportunity split, they need to get through the territory management, they go to access the sales contract. Yes, definitely Sales Cloud license. But if they need only opportunity access and lead access, but they also need digital engagement, entitlement, milestone, it's a Service Cloud license, because with the Service Cloud, you get access to leads, opportunity. With Sales Cloud license, you still get the leads and opportunities and campaigns, price books, and digital engagement. So you got to really figure out at what point in time you are recommending Sales Cloud license versus Service Cloud license. Criticality around the use cases, you got to think about it that, okay, it's a service scenario where a user is coming in from, let's say, from contact center perspective or omni-channel perspective. There is some entitlement SLA implementation has to happen. There is some bot implementation needed. It's heavy use case for service. But if it's a heavy use case for lead management, campaign management, opportunity split, or territory management, it's a Sales Cloud license. And Salesforce does have a bigger umbrella license, which actually is a sales and service, which gives you access to both. So that's also another full-blown license you can go for. And again, this particular slide is just for reference to explain the candidates that which type of capability will lead to what particular license. This is definitely not source of truth, given Salesforce innovations, things are changing. Few years back, digital engagement was not included in Sales Cloud. And it was a default distinction. If you need digital engagement, Service Cloud. Now digital engagement is part of sales. So it's you can still recommend Sales Cloud with digital engagement add-on, and that will solve the purpose for your CTA scenario. So idea is, refer this particular slide only for general guidance, but for customer use case or implementation, definitely go and check with your AE and website, Salesforce website. It will give you a full-blown detailed object-by-object access about the license.
I think that's a very important point, Gaurav. As Gaurav said, this is not source of truth. This, just use this for guidance purposes. Understanding what you're using Salesforce for. Are we using Salesforce for sales? Then it makes sense to use sales license. Are you using Salesforce for service use cases? Then it kind of makes sense to go service. But speak to your AE. They have more control over your licenses and which SKU is better suitable for you. For CTA purposes, having a high level knowledge that these are two distinct clouds with distinct set of features is what is more key here. And understanding if you are recommending a particular feature, like knowledge, for example, then which is a better license, core base license that you need, is what this slide is recommending. Yeah,
exactly right. All right, let's get into external licensing now.
Similar concept, external licensing is same. Again, there are tiers, multiple levels there. You can use Salesforce as an identity platform, as Gaurav said, where Salesforce just gives you identity capabilities. That's the base for external users as well. The high volume, the next level is the high volume license, which is the customer community license. This is when anytime you have a use case where you want to give customers access to their cases, to their account, their profile management, and want to expose some information about them. This is a very restricted license in the sense that there is only a certain way of sharing using this license. So anytime you have a high volume use case, consider customer community. The difference between customer community and customer community plus is quite significant. And one of the most important things is the advanced sharing. So as an internal user, you get access to a lot of sharing capabilities. You get sharing rules, you get profile roles, you get role hierarchy. Customer community does not have any of that. But customer community plus gets advanced sharing. Again, it's not as full-blown as internal licenses, but you still get advanced sharing with customer community plus. And you also get reports and dashboards. And you get some automation like approval processes. And a restricted role hierarchy. Now, the difference between partner community and customer community is also significant. Partner community is a co-selling license. When we say co-selling, you may have a use case where you have vendors who are co-selling some products with you. That's when you want to use objects like leads and opportunities and opportunity managements and codes. That is when you want to use partner community. One of the most important questions is when to use partner community versus customer community plus. If you just need advanced sharing and reports and dashboards, use customer community plus. The moment you want to do co-selling and you need access to leads and opportunities, you have no other option but to use partner communities. And external apps is just an extension to partner community where you get access to more custom objects, more file storage, but it's very similar to partner community. Again, this is just for guidance purposes. This is not source of truth. Talk to your AE. Whenever it comes to licenses, your AE, contacting your AE should be your first thing on the list to really understand which license is suitable for your use cases.
Exactly right. I think the understanding the difference of the capabilities in terms of what object, what capabilities are going, you're getting, based on that, you just need to pick up the license. And of course, the cost of the license itself goes upwards, like starts from customer community. CCPs have expensive, and most expensive license is partner community. So you got to really think in terms of for what type of use case, which type of license is going to be required. And I think maybe Satya, there is one thing we probably also need to talk about, the named license versus the login license, right? Which is also going to play a critical role in the licensing selection. That's covered in this link which we have provided. As Satya mentioned, it's guidance only from capabilities perspective. The named licenses are going to give you the full-blown license of that community is given to a specific user. Login-based licenses are nothing but you get logins which you buy as a customer. And then on daily basis, if one customer logs in 10 times or one time, it counts one login. And then you basically just have to get through, get the total logins which your external partners or customers are logging in.
It's usage-based. You get a pool of licenses, and as you use, you consume from that pool.
Correct.
It's useful in scenarios when you don't know how often the users are going to log in. Sometimes there are use cases where you want to have a customer log in once a month. You don't want to have a name license for that kind of use case because you're wasting a name license in that scenario. So the idea there is buy a pool and just consume it as your customers use it. Again, this is not this session is not about what license is right for your use case. You need to talk to your AE. For CTA preparation, understanding the differences between these licenses is important. You will have to make a license choice for particular users in a CTA scenario. That's correct. When you need to be able to know which one to use.
I think specifically mentioning whether it's a named license or login license is going to be questioned. If you haven't mentioned that clearly in your solution, expect that question coming back in the Q&A in the review board. So you got to make sure you pick the right license and the right type of login versus named license. All right, let's get going into the data model and platform capabilities. Of course, data model will involve objects, relationships, OWD, ownership, LDVs, and platform capabilities where we'll touch in terms of all the key function, declarative versus programmatic capabilities on the platform. So
data model, data model is the soul of any solution that you build on Salesforce platform, correct, including your CTA. That means you need to, if your data model is wrong, then it's very hard to solve anything on the platform.
Exactly.
A lot of your security is tied to your data model. Your relationships, how you build, define your relationships are tied to how you define the data model. The sharing, the awkward default, internal and external.
Exactly.
LDV, large data volume management, all of this are data models. Getting this right is the core.
Exactly right. And I think when we were practicing in 2019 for the CTA review board, getting the data model right was the main intention, major big intention we had, that if our data model is right or near correct version, you can definitely solve your scenario in different approaches. So you might have a different version of the data model, but overall it's aligned with the expectation. There are high chances the candidate will pass. And understanding, and I think data model is also not just drawing the boxes that, okay, oh, this is account, this is contact, this is case, this is audit, or this is invoice. Clear notation of the entities involved in the data model is very important. So as you can see on the right side of this particular slide, we clearly identify, if like picking up the shortcuts or the shortcuts of those particular words is fine. As in, this is what we used to do, that this is a particular naming convention which you used to follow, that RW is read write, OWD wise perspective, PRO public read only, this is private, I think there is a typo, and then internal versus external OWD. So having that clear legend and demarcation is very important. Identifying what's standard versus custom versus external object, having a notation around it is very, very important. So now if you look at this particular one entity, it's an account, as you can see. It has a record type, person account, might have two, might have three. So you go to pick up this, and based on the scenario, you go to specify the record types you are expecting in the data model. It's a read write internally. That means internally everybody can actually see all records, can write into this update every record. / PRI private, which means externally nobody can see accounts. Maybe this particular scenario didn't have any community. We didn't want to open up the account externally, and hence we kept externally private. Now, ownership of the object is very important. Hence, specifying the ownership as like who is owning, who is creating, who will be the owner of that particular majorly of that record is going to be important. So service rep. Similarly, now if you see cases with record types, internal, external, OWD, ownership, LWD, like there could be a scenario. Maybe in this particular example, we might had 5 million cases expectation happening over 1 year. That's why we clearly demarket that this is the LDV scenario. Now, if every case, for every case, there are one or two audits are expected, most likely audits will have 10 million records. Heavily, this will be also become LDV. And this is managed by owned by audit officer. It's completely private. Audit might have sensitive information. So hence it's internally private, externally private. And then if you see __C, clearly demarcating that this is a custom object. Here invoice, clearly demarcating it as it's __X, which means it's external object. So you clearly identify how the object type is defined, internal, external, or custom. What sort of record type and what sort of relationship. Now this is very, I think account, contacts, opportunities, cases, leads, they all have special relationship that they are not really lookup, they are not really master detail. But if you these are all lookup. Why I know it's lookup? Because when on the next slide we'll cover, whenever it's a master detail, we will specify it's a master detail. So you got to demarket very clearly that, okay, what sort of object and the relationship type is. So you, and there could be scenario of many to many relationship. There are awesome tips which are given on this architect.salesforce.com website. And this video is pretty awesome, which will give you a bit of context in terms of how the whole notation works. There are these diagram templates which you can look at. I think this is the core part. And if you do it right, then you will get through. So I think that's where understanding the concept and practicing those particular bits that, okay, every time you draw a data model, these are the six things you got to do every time. Then you will be fine with it.
Yeah. And your data model maps. Can you go back to the previous slide? Your data model, actually, when you're solving the scenario, it actually maps to your requirements.
Correct.
You might have a leads case or a creation of opportunity case. You may be co-selling a product. You may have customer service. So as you see the scenario, and as you navigate the scenario, you will see that the data model actually kind of emerges out of that scenario, right? And it actually ties to the actual requirements. So you'll see that the requirements are flowing nicely from one section to another. When you see your data model, So when you're presenting the data model in the board, you should tell it in the form of a story, because your requirements or your business case that you're solving for is also flowing. All of that you will see that it maps to a data model, and then you will be able to tie it from a user's persona. And this was one of the tips that I received from when I was preparing it. Like, if you can articulate your data model in form of a story from a user's point of view, in the form of a requirement, that is golden, because then the judges would know that you understand the scenario and you have now created a solution with that understanding. Correct. It's not easy to do. It's one of the hardest things to do.
Correct.
But if you are able to do it, you will be golden.
Exactly right. And that's a very common tip, very hard to practice. Every candidate must have received it. We got the same feedback. And it takes time. As in, you need to get handle of that, okay, this is how I'm going to approach this particular solution. The requirements are more or less going to be in a particular flow, as Satya mentioned. You got to come up with the same perspective from your solution angle also. That, okay, this is how my data flows. This is how my personas are coming in. This is how these personas will create these particular records. Because they will own, there is this type of relationship. This sharing will work internally and externally. So you got to keep your story aligned with your data model. It has to be like a non-technical plus technical perspective you got to bring. Right? As in, it's a story from business plus solution from technical angle, which you got to explain. And it takes effort in terms of practice. And it's a skill which you gain slowly with time.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's talk about relationships, right? Like we all know that there are different types of relationships supported. We are only talking about data that resides on the platform. We are not talking about external objects here. So we all know the two key relationship, master detail and lookup. Bonus points for anybody who can tell me the difference between master detail and lookup. I won't tell you what the actual difference is, but there is a key difference between master detail and lookup. I'm pretty sure if you're working on the Salesforce platform, you know. And it may have to do something with the top right corner the top left and top right corner of the box that you see.
Exactly.
Master detail and lookup is very, very important. You indicate what type of relationship you define in the data model, because then it says it has an impact on sharing for this. Self-hierarchical relationship is when we reference the same object. Account hierarchy is a classic example of that. And then many-to-many. There are multiple scenarios where you need to have many-to-many. So two master details. Now, another bonus question. What does the junction object inherit? When you have a owner, different owners on two masters, what is the junction object going to inherit? Again, bonus question, if you're listening, ping me separately on LinkedIn and give me the answers. These are more important things that you will have to answer, because the judges may go into detail of these kind of things in the board.
Exactly. All right. Maybe next time we should do a bit of Q&A slide. Maybe next time we should probably. That'd be more interactive.
We should have bonus questions for all. Yeah, bonus questions for our listeners.
Let people comment in YouTube comments or on LinkedIn that, okay, this slide, this is the answer. Then, yeah, that'll be more official.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Platform capabilities. As we have spoken about, Salesforce truly is a platform where you can build your own apps using all these bunch of features. I'm not going to go through this entire list of all the features, but the idea to tell is that given a requirement, you can solve that particular requirement in multiple different ways on the platform. There are more than two or three ways sometimes, even more, to solve a particular requirement. Now, all these ways may be right. As an architect, your job is to find out what is the most efficient way to solve a requirement. Salesforce is a low-code platform. You have low-code abilities. And if you have a simple requirement, why would you go code route versus a low-code route? You need to be able to very, very convincingly justify your answers in the board. If there is a low-code solution available and you recommend a code-based solution using Apex, the judge is going to ask you to justify your answer. As long as you are able to justify, no problems. But if you hesitate during a justification, that's when it becomes a problem. So understanding pros and cons of each of these, when do you use Visual Force versus LWCs versus LWR? When do you use App Builder? When do you use Console App? When do you use Flows versus Apex? Territory management versus sharing rules and roles and platforms, and there are a bunch of APIs. When do you use bulk API versus REST API?
Correct.
Profiles, permission set, roles, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think these are key capabilities. We randomly put together all different boxes together for you to just see all these things from platform, but understanding the capabilities. Use case, like name credential, for example. Now, what is the use case? Why it's important? Why you should do name credential? Apex pay sharing, as in why, in what scenarios Apex pay sharing is really going to help and required. Assignment rules, escalation on the entitlements, and the standard reports versus Einstein Analytics, or as you call it, CRMA. In which particular scenario, what sort of reports and dashboard will work. So understanding all that is going to be critical. So get through the documentation, get through the different parts of the exam, work with your study buddies to really pinpoint in terms of what capability is going to be helping you in what particular requirement, and then calling it out very clearly. Yeah.
Again, this is not an exhaustive list of all features. We have just indicated a few so that you understand that if there are more than one ways to solve it, what is the best way for that particular requirement?
Correct.
And are you able to justify with the pros and cons? That really is the magic of this exam.
Exactly right. All right. Final thoughts?
Okay. All right. Design is important. There is no silver bullet. If your design has to be right, your data model has to be right. If your data model is wrong, it's very hard to solve. In Salesforce, it's not just for the CTA board, but even for your actual customer implementation. A data model, spending enough time during design is important. I know we all do agile delivery for most of the Salesforce projects. Okay, that's fine, but that shouldn't take away that we need to still do design.
Correct.
Having the data model right, there is no silver bullet. You have to pay enough attention to data model. Standard data models, understanding of standard objects, what they do, where they should be used. You should definitely know it. If somebody asks you, if you're trying to implement a selling use case and you create a custom opportunity, that's not a good data model. Do not use custom opportunity. Do not use custom cases just to save on licenses. That's a very, very bad design. Do not do it. CTA specific, look, this comes with practice. The more scenarios you solve the scenario again and again and again. That's when you try and get the hang of it in terms of, okay, if this is a requirement, this is a type of requirement, these are three ways to solve it. And in this particular scenario, I'm going to use this because so and so. Justifying your why everywhere, it will come with practice. So, and look, CTA is changing as well.
Salesforce.
Salesforce as a platform is changing as well. Even though CTA is really focused on the core aspects, but there will be some requirements that will ask you to have understanding of all these different products. So keep learning, keep listening to this podcast. You will gain a lot of knowledge. Give us feedback. It's very, very important.
Exactly. I think that's very important. And with that, we conclude our first domain. And definitely we enjoyed this session. It was quick. It was still core part of the whole foundation, I would say, for the learning journey, which every candidate would get through, maybe to become a better architect, maybe to get to CTA, but knowing these things are very important. Yeah, and thank you for listening to us. We will definitely come back this time in next few weeks instead of next few months. What's our next topic, Satya? What should be the next topic?
Security.
Security, exactly. So keep your... So definitely subscribe, like, comment, give us feedback. We'll try to bring all questions approach this next time to keep you a bit more engaged. And we'd love to get your feedback and let us know how we go. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So with this amazing conversation, we conclude this episode. And thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. We look forward to bringing more exciting and relevant content in the upcoming episodes.